pressing the start record button. We're going to see what happens. This is recording number 8. Take 8.
Good old it's already, Tom. That's what they called me.
Yeah, it's already the time that we usually are wrapping up. So.
Oh, man.
And I'm on my second glass of scotch. So.
I'm still drinking my first beer. Aren't we glad it's not a busy news week?
Yeah, but our main topic is pretty intense and in-depth.
That's true. All right, well, let's get started, I guess, right?
I think we should just get into this now.
Let's do this.
I think we've played around enough. Let's do it. Let's get it started. Fucking finally. All right, so welcome to Talk Iran Riyadh, the Wheel of Time showcast. I'm your host, Joe Perry, here with my co-host, Jen Isgro. How are you doing tonight, Jen?
I'm doing good, Joe. I'm awake.
Yes. Yeah, good. If we sense that you possibly have snored or fell asleep, we will yell into the microphone as loud as we can.
I'm looking forward to it.
And how are you doing, Tom, our other co-host?
I am doing as well as could be expected. Man, do I really need a new laptop.
Tom, I think you're going to need to lean in a little bit closer to the mic. Sounds like you're very far away.
Sorry about that, folks. Doing very well, Joe.
That's better.
Okay.
Make love to that mic, Tom.
That's weird.
It sounds like you're giving the mic a Dutch rudder.
Also weird.
All right. As we said before, we've dilly-dallied long enough. We've had a lot of technical difficulties getting into this, so let's get right into it. So it was a slow news week, but we did have some news. You okay over there, Tom?
It sounds like you're underwater.
Underwater?
It sounds like the mic is movement. It sounds like the mic is in your pants and you're jogging right now.
What the hell? How are you trying to tell me your second glass of scotch?
All right. all right. So into the news. As I mentioned, we're not going to dilly-dally anymore. And we began to dilly-dally some more. So the first thing I have is that there was an Instagram post from NARG. It was, and I don't even know where the picture came from. But it was of a Melanie Carmichael, and she was sitting on the Iron Throne, so that drew my attention. And she hashtagged the Wheel of Time in there. She's a wardrobe designer and seamstress, so apparently she's working on Wheel of Time, which is pretty cool. She's worked on Game of Thrones. She's also worked on Carnival Row. So yeah, we have a costume maker designer for the show, so that's kind of cool. I had a hard time looking her up. Every time I Googled her, I would get pictures of Reese Witherspoon. Oh. And then I realized that's her character's name.
Yeah, I knew that name sounded familiar.
That's her character's name in Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah. So that's what kept coming up every time I Googled Melanie Carmichael.
That's her fake name. That's her fake last name.
What's her real name?
It's like Smoot or something is her real last name. Something
Melanie
like that.
Smoot?
Yeah, so she changes it when she moves to New York.
Good change.
Good movie.
Good change.
Good shit house.
right.
You changed it to latrine?
Used to be shit house.
That's a great movie. So Jen, what do you think of this added crew member, Melanie Carmichael, costume/wardrobe designer, seamstress, supervisor?
I like it. I like her two shows that we know she's worked on. Very good. Very similar to what she's going to be doing now. Very good costumes in both of those shows. So I'm excited. This is good.
I forgot to mention, too, she also worked on the classic movie, Your Highness.
Oh. Wait, is that the one with Natalie Portman and...
Yes,
Seth
James
Rogen,
Franco
yeah.
and...
All right.
Yeah, Seth Rogen.
Well, I don't specifically remember the costumes, but I'm sure they were good.
You know what I remember from that movie? I remember two scenes. I remember James Franco giving an old man a hand job. And a minotaur with a giant penis. That's what I remember from that movie.
Wow. Joe, what are you trying to tell us?
I don't know. It's just what's stuck in my head.
A minotaur with a small penis would be weirder than a minotaur with a giant penis, I would think.
Oh, it was abnormally large
really,
and distracting.
Right? Okay.
It was very comical, though.
It was like a tripod?
It was close
seen
to
movie.
It.
I started a long time ago.
It's not a very good movie, so.
Yes, I got
not
that
like Sweet
sense.
Home Alabama.
It's no Sweet Home Alabama.
I really do like Sweet Home Alabama. It is a good movie.
Okay.
Okay. Tom, any feedback on this new crew member?
No. Once again, I think that they're assembling a really crack team for the crew of this show. I do think I agree with Jen. The costumes on the shows that you discussed as being part of her resume are some of the best costuming in television. That's good because possibly more than any other book series I have ever read, the costumes on this show have to be great. They're so important to they're so important to Jordan, clearly, right, in the books. And so they're very important to a large amount of the fan base. The fact that they got somebody who's really one of you know, the A-list people to do this is a really good sign.
Yeah, I think the only other author or book that I've read where they spent more time describing the clothing was American Psycho by Bret Easton Ellis. I'd say a good third of that book is just describing the outfits that people are wearing.
Huh.
Yeah. So for moving a different right reason, along,
I think.
Yes. Moving right along, there was a casting call pulled from that casting company. Oh, what is the name of it? I lost it already because I didn't pull it. I didn't actually pull the name of the casting company.
I'm picturing Bob Uecker in Major League, like in the middle of the season where he's drinking all the time. Yeah. And he's like,
I have been drinking.
He's like, I don't care.
Extra Films. So Extra Films has been that casting agency that we've been seeing posting a lot of casting for extras on Facebook. So they've been posting in, I think, Czech or some other European language. I think it's mostly been Czech. So we got a Google Translate of this casting post, and I will read directly from it. Bear in mind, this is Google Translated. We are looking for a girl or twins of darker types, calmly Roma or otherwise ethnic, 10 to 14 months. If you have a baby girl or twins that match the assignment, then please send mail to, and then it gives some information. It looks like there's 3 days of shooting. It says filming for a very interesting American fantasy series, secretly called W at the moment, which we all know to be Wheel of Time.
It's the worst code name in the world.
Yeah. It is pretty bad. You think they would have been more creative?
Let's pick a different letter. Any letter that doesn't start the name of the show.
I think it has to be easy enough so that other people who need to know what it means know what it means.
I don't know. There have been movies with like complete fake names for the shooting.
Well, right. That used to be like a thing back in the day when you still were on film and they would put a fake name on the film canister when they were delivering the movies to be like premiered or stuff like that.
Is that what it was? I thought it was during filming.
No, I think when they... wrong. I feel like it was probably both. Like
Blue Harvest. Star Wars with Blue Harvest or something.
Oh, was it?
Okay. I don't know if that was... I thought that was during filming. Could have been after.
It could be both. So, Jen, what do you think of this casting for twin baby girls or a girl? Who do you think this could be?
I think it's...
anybody?
Probably an extra. I'm assuming it's... I don't think, like, the description, the fact that it's a girl, darker skin. I don't know. If it's not an extra, then I don't think it's, like, a big part. There aren't really that very many babies that I can even think of. I know people's first reaction was Rand on Dragon Mount, but the fact that they said that they specifically wanted girls and they're 10 to 14 months, like that's not an infant or not a newborn that you're finding in the snow, especially not a redheaded, light-skinned infant. So no. I'm going to say it's just like a baby in one of the towns or something.
3 days of shooting, though.
Could just be a big scene, or maybe it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what maybe they haven't done yet. I'm not sure.
Tom?
Yeah, the fact that they threw Roma in there, it makes me think it's the Tinkers, that there's just going to be a baby with the Tinkers, right? Because they are very gypsy-like, which is what the Roma are, right? So, or what gypsies are Roma. But yeah, it makes me think this is for them. There's nobody else that I think that they would really be around in the Eye of the World or the Great Hunt that would have that kind of look and there would be babies around. So that's my prediction. First instinct was also like Rand, but like the fact that it's like an extra casting organization and the age, as Jen said, it doesn't make sense. Like even if they're going to do a flashback of like Cam bringing Rand back, it still doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't have asked for a girl then.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with Tom on that because that makes sense for the 3 days of casting. Mm-hmm. I could see Tinkers, you know, doing a couple of scenes. They probably got to be there a while. So I'll agree with you on that one.
What do you think the chances are that we'll get a scene of a Trolloc eating the baby?
A Tinker baby?
Any baby. This baby.
Well, definitely Trollocs eating babies in The Great Hunt. So I hope not.
The only other baby that I could think of is, like, I think it's in the Portal World scene, but also in Egwene's accepted test, the Joya Althor, her and Rand's baby.
Talking about Nynaeve's accepted test?
No, Egwene's.
When in the Great Hunt?
That's not the Great Hunt. Oh, it's in Dragon Reborn.
Well, that's but I think it happens a consequence in, right now then, Joe.
But I think you also see her in the Portal Stone scene in the Great Hunt.
You see who?
Little Joya Althor. I think Rand has a vision in the Portal Stone. Does he go to a world, I think, where him and Egwene are married? It's in like one. I think it might be the Flicker.
Okay,
Flicker
yeah,
scene.
I didn't get up to that part. I don't remember.
I think so, yeah.
Possible.
I don't know.
I think it's just 3 days of shooting for a...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think it's just an extra.
It's just an extra.
Yeah. All right. So moving right along, next piece. We had a couple of Instagram posts of Priyanka Bose and Jennifer Cheon Garcia getting their hair done. Nothing much there except they're getting their hair done. I guess only tells us that they're still filming, the two of them, which means they've kind of been filming for a while now. I know Priyanka Bose has been posting a lot of stuff indicating that she's still in Prague and filming. And I think I saw some more wigs too in the background of Jennifer Cheon Garcia's post, which was kind of cool.
And maybe they did the battle already. Maybe they're doing like smaller scenes now or something.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's I've given up. I was attempting to do a big timeline of like when we know actors and actresses were in Prague and where in Prague or in the Czech Republic that filming was going on, but it was just it's too much. I don't think I can do it.
I'm curious to see. I feel like these characters are going to be much bigger than what they are in the beginning of. I know they get bigger as the story goes on, but I feel like Alana and Leanne really aren't very big parts in the first two books. So, like,
well,
the amount of time that they're there, I feel like they're definitely going to be expanding. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with them.
I'm thinking maybe that's just because the two of them have a pretty big social media presence, so you're just seeing a lot of them posting. Like, we don't really see anything from Barney Harris, but does that mean he's not really filming a lot?
No, but they, like, you know, they announced that casting as if it was like a big cast, you know what I mean? Like a big part to be cast. Wheel of Time on Prime posted it too. It wasn't just that.
Wild
you know?
Times.
Wild I don't know. Prime. Yeah, I guess you're right that they are posting a lot, but they're there for a long time. I feel like they've been there a long time.
And I mean, we all had discussed that they're probably going to be combining like Aes Sedai. Maybe they're just, they're also filling in the roles. Those characters have some other smaller Aes Sedai roles, so they're just doing more. Like you said, they are filming more because they're also, you know, absorbing smaller Aes Sedai roles into theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one last bit of news. I saved this for last because, Jen, it's one of your favorites. We have some horse news.
Yes.
Clap, 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 clap. Yeah.
You're not supposed to say that. I'm going to put in the sound effect afterwards.
Put it over my own clapping.
You don't need to do that now.
I am going to do that.
Tom, saved you 2 minutes of editing.
Yes. Thank you, Tom. Yosha Stradowski posted a video on Instagram of him riding a beautiful black stallion. We think it's Yosha. The sun is behind him and it's glaring, but it's him.
Why would he post a video of another guy riding on a horse?
A lot of people responded, is that Mandarb? And
Mandarb is Lan's horse, isn't it?
I know. That's what I said. I said, no, that's Lan's horse.
I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to seem like a bitch. But
I'll say
that.
It here.
Come on, everybody. I'm going to say it where everyone can hear. If I know it, then it's pretty obvious.
Well, what I wanted to say was, why you got to be so racist? It's a black horse. It has to be Mandarb. Come on.
Oh my God. Is every black horse Mandarb to you?
Yes. It's obviously Cloud. Well, that's who I thought it was. Cloud, right? That's the horse that Rand gets. That's the horse he leaves the Two Rivers with, right? Cloud?
Is it? I don't remember that horse even having a name, but.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the horse he leaves Two Rivers with.
And it's probably that horse.
Yeah. What do you guys think about this horse? Tom, what do you think about this horse?
I think it's a majestic steed.
It is pretty majestic, to be honest.
Spirited, yet powerful. No,
but what happens to the horse he leaves the Two Rivers with? He just dies
in Shadar
Logoth.
In Shadar Logoth, yeah.
Oh, well. Sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. I think that he was posting it not to, like, you know, show off the horse so much, but to show off, hey, look, I'm learning how to ride a horse now, which is important, you know, for Rand, especially in later books, you know, where he does a lot more horse riding. You know, he only does it for the first third of this book. Well, they get more horses later, right? Do they?
Well, do they get horses?
They all have horses when they go into the Blight.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get horses. They leave Camlin with horses, yeah. I think, right? Don't they yeah, Gil, don't they Gil. Buy horses yeah. from Master Gil, right? Yeah.
And they take horses through the ways?
Yes.
I don't remember that. Okay.
So, yeah. So that's our horse news for the week.
Clap, 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 clap.
And that's our news for the week.
Did you want to say there was a post just while we've been recording? You want to?
That's true. I forgot about that. Thanks, Tom. So Jennifer Garcia posted a video on Instagram. It's herself, Marcus Rutta, Barney Harris. We have a Barney Harris sighting, and Priyanka Bose. They're in a hallway somewhere. I don't know. It looks like maybe an apartment building or some sort of building. I can't describe it.
It looks like a building, folks.
Yeah, it looks like a building. There are walls. There appears to be a window and stairs.
It's clearly not on set. It looks like they're about to like go out, either like to go back to their rooms or to go out for an out of the town or whatever. They're in street clothes and whatnot.
So that's just confirming more that Jennifer Garcia and Priyanka Bose are still there and they're still filming scenes as well. So
it looks like Barney's a smoker too.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Was that a cigarette in his mouth? I didn't know if he was, like, sucking on a lollipop or something.
I think it was a cigarette because he took it out of his mouth when he thought that she was she's taking video, but everyone else thinks she's about to take a picture. And it looks like he takes it out of his mouth and puts it, like, behind his back.
Oh, yeah, so maybe it is a cigarette. He's a smoker.
Yeah, well.
All right, well, we won't hold that against
him. And Rand. So.
Yeah, they smoke pipes, though.
It's true. That's because they don't have cigarettes.
He should be getting into character and smoking a pipe. Do you think they'll be smoking pipes in the show?
No.
No?
Probably not.
No.
You think there'll be Two Rivers Tobacco in the show? Will it be a thing?
Nope.
No? Well, we saw the village.
There was tobacco in the village. There might be, but I don't think that they're going to have the lead heroes of their show smoke.
Why not? They did it in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I still don't think so.
It was a different time back then.
Those were different times.
It was like almost 20 years ago.
Jesus Christ, that was 20 years ago. That's insane.
Yep.
All right. You made me sad. Moving along. So we thought that we were going to do something a little fun and interesting for this episode's main topic. So we decided to talk about how some of the big mystery/theories are going to play out in the show. So we kind of jotted down some of the mysteries early on that we deal with. Most of these are from Eye of the World that leak a little bit into The Great Hunt. And we thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about how the show's going to bring those to the screen. The first one I brought up is, this is not really a big mystery, but I don't remember because I first read the book so long ago, but Rand being the Dragon Reborn / the one that the Dark One's after. I want to start by asking the both of you, Tom, you first, when did you realize that Rand was the one that, you know, the Dark One was after, the Trollocs were after, and that he was the Dragon Reborn? I mean, you don't really know about the Dragon Reborn until a little bit later into the book, but when did you first figure that out?
The first time I read the book, I think I figured it out in Four Kings, right? That's where he cast the lightning down. Yes. I think then, that's when I figured out that it was him. But I will say this, through the Shadow Rising, I still thought that some of the prophecies may have referred to some of the other boys, to the point when Matt accompanies Rand to Ruidian, I knew there was a chapter coming and they were talking about He Who Comes with the Dawn. I still thought there was a possibility that that was going to be Matt. Like that some of these prophecies related to all three of the boys or the different ones of the boys, and that they would all have to be, they would have to like share the burden of it, which turned out not to be the case. So, but yeah, I would say in the approximately halfway through the book that I realized that, well, he's the special one.
Okay. How about you, John?
I was going to say the same thing, probably in Four Kings. I know he channels before that, but it's, you know, I never picked up on that when he's channeling, when they're riding the horses.
I don't think anyone's ever picked up on that on their first read through.
I think, but then on like on another, you know, on a reread, it's kind of obvious, I think, because of how much of the book is from his point of view and it starts in his point of view. You only see him get attacked by Trollocs in the beginning. So it's kind of, once you're reading it again, you're like, how did you not think this guy was the main character, you know? But yeah, I don't think it took
four. He's the guy whose parents aren't his parents. And
Right. Yeah, that whole drama. I think the Four Kings is like, you can't not know at that point. Obviously, he did something. But once you reread it a second time, I think it's pretty obvious.
I don't remember too well, but I'm pretty sure I thought he was the main character from the beginning because of the fact that you never got a point of view from the other boys until you. I don't think you ever get one from Matt in the first book.
No, you don't.
And you didn't get one from Perrin until they split up. So I think it was, I was like kind of like, are they trying to make it seem like it's not him? Am I supposed to not think it's him? Because I thought it was pretty obvious. I mean, when do we get another point of view? Is it after Shadow Logoth?
Shadow Logoth, yeah.
I think so.
Right? So you're talking like a third of the way through the book, yeah. And it's still one person's point of view.
Right, it's in Shadow Logoth. This is the first time that somebody else's point of view. Yeah, I mean, the fact that, you know, Luce Theron, the prologue is Luce Theron killing himself, and then the next thing you see is Rand, you know, like, is pretty spot on with that. But again, I do think that the book does a good job of, like, allowing you to believe that there could be misdirection. Not tricking you, but just saying, like, well, maybe it's not just this cut and dry, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. Perrin separates and gets superpowers.
Yeah, he does.
So, like, it's not, it's like, well, maybe you think it's Rand because he's the guy you've been following, but it's really not, or whatever the case may be.
I do remember, like, thinking, like, is Jordan trying to trick us? Is he going to, like, throw a twist at the end where you find out it's not Rand? A la, you know, a Game of Thrones where you're thinking Ned's, like, the main character of the story and then he dies at the end.
Right.
But he never really did that.
No. No. Now, if they're going to be making the focus of the series, at least in the beginning, more on Moraine and tell the story more from her point of view, at least to start, or have her be the focal point for the first few episodes, you have more opportunity to have mystery here. If she doesn't know which of the boys it is, then you may not know which of the boys it is.
Yeah, now that was going to be my follow-up question is do you think that the TV show will kind of hold their cards closer to the chest and try to keep it more mysterious, or are they just going to play it kind of like the book and you're going to get a lot of Rand and know it's him? What do you think?
No, I'm thinking. I'm trying to think of how they could. They'd have to make all of them even, you know, in terms of, like, what we see of them and their story. Matt doesn't really have a story too much. Well, he has the dagger, I guess. They could play that up more.
Yeah.
I guess they and could. Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, if they have him channeling a Four Kings, that's kind of a big moment.
Yeah, I mean, to me, in the books, the only thing that really tips it off for me a lot is that it's Rand's point of view so much.
Right.
So if you take that out, I think you can easily keep it a bit more of a mystery. Tom, like you said, if you're going to focus it more from kind of Moraine's point of view, then you could easily, you know, keep it a bit more of a secret. And then, like, as a big reveal towards the end of the season or whenever in the season, have your big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious as if they're going to actually do that. I think they should. It'd be a little bit more interesting and a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it right now. Exciting.
That's why we have a podcast, folks. it's our ways with words. I agree with you, but I don't think they are. I hope that they are going to seed mysteries throughout this series the same way they do in the books. I think that part of the fun of reading the books and being part of the Wheel of Time subculture, whatever you want to call it, fandom, was like all the crazy theorizing, all the crazy, like, well, what does this really mean? What could this, you know, who could this really be? What really happened here? How do these things work? All this kind of thing. Because there was a lot of it. It wasn't just plot theorizing. It was like metaphysical theorizing. It was like the science of the world theorizing. There was a lot of that. And I hope that they allow that to be reflected in the viewing of the show. But I think that you're going to know pretty clearly. And I think that people watching shows, It's a different kind of audience, a different kind of storytelling. I think that if you do have Tam in the beginning get feverish, you know, and talk about how he found the baby, like, people are like, oh, okay, he's the guy. Like, they're going to know before the first episode's over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like, the only way you keep that mystery up is if, like, you don't hear what Tam said until later on.
Looking back at the first book, Moraine's the one who tells the boys that the Dark One sent the Trollocs after them, looking for them. So you're really going by her word. You don't get any Moraine point of views, or unless they start throwing in flashbacks to New Spring, you don't really know too much about the Dragon Reborn, even like the prophecies of the Dragon Reborn. I think they talk about it a little bit, and you don't really kind of learn more about that until the the dreams start happening. So I think the dreams is probably one of those other ways that they could either tip their hand or, you know, keep it a little bit more secret. Maybe we see a dream from one of the other boys instead of Rand to try to keep people guessing.
Right.
Because they're all having those dreams.
They are. And like nobody in the world knows throughout the Eye of the World who the guy is, like which one of them it is.
All right. So moving on to the next mystery. This is one of my favorites because it shows up throughout the first three books. And that is Balzamon not actually being the Dark One. So we first see him in Teleren Riad. He's Ishamael is, or Balzamon. He's taken the name of Balzamon and he's masquerading. He's basically pretending he's the Dark One. I was going back and looking at some of the what he says, and it's almost like he's trying to impersonate the Dark One. Yeah. I don't know if it's just him inadvertently doing it because he's crazy or he's doing it on purpose. But the fact that Rand kills, and I'm doing quotes on this, Balzamon three times in the series. First of all, do you think that's going to happen?
No. I think he's going to kill him twice.
Twice?
Yeah, that's it.
And you don't, I mean, in the end of the Eye of the World, you think he does kill him. And it's not until the Great Hunt where I think Rand meets the Amyrlin and Faldara. And he says that, you know, Balzamon is dead. And Swan tells him that he's a fool. Is when you first like say, oh, wait, he's not dead. And then Rand has a dream of him later on. He sees the burned face from when he fought him at the end of Eye of the World. And I think that's the scene where Rand gets his first Herrenbrand.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's in the portal world, huh?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right after he goes into the portal world. That's right. So I guess my question, Jen, when did you realize that Balzamon wasn't the Dark One?
Yeah, that scene with in the Great Hunt with Swan, Moraine, and Varin kind of tips you a little bit. But you guys were saying, I think last week or the week before, that he thought he was just writing a trilogy.
Yeah, originally he thought it was going to be a trilogy, yeah.
So do you think that, well, what they're saying is that he's not really dead. Do they actually say in that scene that he's not the Dark One?
No. No,
she just tells him that he's a fool for thinking that Balzamon is dead.
Yeah.
And they're always using the word Balzamon, too. Right. It's not like they're saying the Dark One or...
Yeah, but could he have been meant to be the Dark One or like the big baddie when he was writing it and then when he decided he was going to write 12
more books? I thought the same thing.
He just said, oh, this guy's not the big one. This is, yeah. You know, whatever.
I thought the same thing, Jen. I was like, well, he said he was, you know, originally I think it was supposed to be a trilogy. So maybe he was writing it and then sit in the middle of his writing thought, oh, no, wait, I want to make this longer. Let's just say this guy's not the Dark One and he's somebody else.
If that's the case, then I think they'll either say from the beginning that he's not, or you'll find out a lot earlier that he's not, instead of letting it drag out over like the storyline of three books before you realize that this guy isn't even who he thinks he is. I feel like if you find that out sooner, it would be a good twist, but I think if it lasts too long, it wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, I agree. I think we don't need all three fights with him.
Yeah.
I think that's too many, especially since he's not, because there's other fights with him later on when he's more than them. So well, it's like he fights him.
So many fights.
Yeah.
He does a lot of fighting.
Yeah. There's a lot of Forsaken. I know we didn't do anything on the Forsaken yet, but I wonder if.
Yeah, right. You're going to fight this one three times. Meanwhile, there's 12 other ones.
Right. Like, are there going to be 12 other ones? Are there going to be this many Forsaken? Like, I know they're all important in the story and they all have their own little parts to play, but.
They're doing 13 Forsaken.
A lot of Forsaken.
It's too cool not to have 13 evil bad guys.
It is too cool, but.
Well, go ahead.
So I don't think they're going to. I don't think he's going to fight him, at least not in the same way where he thinks he kills him at the Eye of the World, if the Eye of the World is even in the show. I do think that they're going to combine the fight at the end of the Great Hunt and the fight at the end of the Eye of the World into one fight, and then he'll fight him again at the end of the Dragon Reborn. That's my thought on it. I think that nobody knowing that Balzamon is not the Dark One, even though the Trollocs don't think that, they just think that he's Balzamon, right? But like, that's the first real example of characters not having information and so assuming things are true and then that turning out to be false. So like everyone thinks that Balzamon is the Dark One, right? Like I think Swan thinks that, you know, Moraine did whatever. And I think that after Rand's like, well, I burned him, and Moraine's like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense, right? You can't burn the dark one. Like, that's when, like, I do think it's going to be not as an intentional misdirect, but I do think they're going to be, I think they're going to assume, everyone's going to assume that this is the bad guy, and then they're going to find out, like, no, that guy was tough enough. He's not even the real bad guy.
I disagree with you on this part, that I don't think for one second that Moraine and Swan think that that's the Dark One. Because I think Moraine mentions that the Dark One's not, we would know if the Dark One was free, and then all the seals would have to be broken. And, you know, we would know. She's like, if the Dark One were free, you know, shit would be really bad. I don't think for one minute that they believe that Balzamon is the Dark One.
I don't think that they believe that that's Balzamon. I think everyone believes that. I mean, I don't know, and they can play different ways, but I think that if you were to ask Moraine at that point, she would go, you didn't kill Balzamon. You killed some guy.
Yeah.
Right? Because Balzamon means heart of the dark, right? I think that's what it means.
Yeah, it's a Trolloc tongue for right. Heart of the dark, yeah.
So, sorry. I'm sorry. Sometimes it makes me laugh about the things that I do know and the things that I cannot remember ever. But Balzamon, that's Trolloc for Heart of the Dark. We all know that. So continuing. Right. I think that that's like commonly understood to be another name for the Dark One. I don't think that like the Aes Sedai have secret knowledge that it isn't. I think that they more think, well, that's not who you killed. You killed some guy, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
I don't think that, like, oh, they know that Balzamon's secretly Ishmael.
No, I agree with you there. I think that they definitely know that he's not the Dark One.
Okay.
So you mentioning that, you know, something came into my head, you mentioning that there are so 13 Forsaken, there are so many of them. What if he does kill Balzamon at the end of the first season? Going into the Great Hunt in the first season, we kind of combine the Eye of the World battles with the Falma battle. And he just fights him once and he kills him. Let's just say he kills him in the show. And then for the Great Hunt, screw it. You don't need him. You still got Bilal at the end of that. And they could just kill Bilal. Does he need to kill Balzamon again?
I don't know.
Jen?
No, not if he actually kills him. Then he would not need to kill him again.
The only thing I could think of is there's the dream in the Great Hunt with Balzamon and he gets the Heron brand. Yeah. And I think there's a couple
and
of dreams.
Egwene has a dream about him too.
Yeah, there's dreams about him throughout The Dragon Reborn, I think, when Rand is heading to Tyr.
Like, everybody that Rand's, like, everyone around is dreaming about him. Like,
but they're not dreaming about him, they're dreaming about Kalendor, because Bilal is influencing people's dreams. He's, like, pushing out dreams of Kalendor. So I think that's happening a lot, and I think there's only, like, maybe one or two dreams with Balzamon in it.
So I want to be clear. I feel like what I think they're going to try and do is the first three books in two seasons. So I think that the end of the first season is going to be more or less the Eye of the World, except he's just not, maybe he fights Balzamon, but he doesn't think he kills him. He just fights him and then gets away or whatever the case may be. And then like he fights him again later. And maybe you tie in, maybe there's no Toman Head and they Shaunchan invade Tyr. And you just have the stone and everything's it together. Whoa. No.
I didn't say no. I said whoa.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you do that. Maybe you tie in the end of the Great Hunt and the end of the Dragon Reborn, and then everyone's at the same place. And like the Shaunchan can't get into the stone, right? They're fought. But Rand's inside the stone. Matt's outside blowing the horn. Maybe do something like that. Really, I mean, this is really just off the cuff right now. But you fight him once, you don't kill him. You fight him again, you do kill him.
Yeah. That was my initial thought. And then it just popped into my head, like, you know, do we need him to fight him again? Can he just kill him the first time and then just move on with another Forsaken?
No, because then,
and then
he's
he
not
come any, back as Morden.
He's not any better than anybody else. If he's the only guy who, like, fights Rand and gets to fight him again because everybody else who fights Rand just dies.
Yeah.
Like, that makes him, yeah. That makes him worthy of being the one in charge.
Gotcha. Yeah, that does. You're right. It does. He's Rand's nemesis throughout the series. So you want to build that relationship, not kill him off right away. I agree. It was just something that popped into my head.
I like it.
So, okay. So we were talking about Forsaken. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about Forsaken alter egos. And this is what I was referencing to before, where something that you can do easily in a book, but might be more difficult to do on screen. Because, right, so we have these Forsaken who are masquerading as other characters in the story, or, and I'm not even talking about when they get reincarnated into new bodies. I'm just talking about, for instance, in the, I think early on, the only one that we really know about in The Great Hunt, when we get up to that, is Selene and Lanfear, that they're the same person. And from what I remember, Selene and Lanfear really don't look much different. I think Selene just looks like a younger version of Lanfear. So in a book, that's easy because you don't actually see the person. So it's not like you say, oh, I recognize that person. So how do you think they're going to handle that in the show? Are they going to try to make you think that they're two separate people? Or do you think they're just going to be like, all right, you know, it's the same person, but the characters aren't going to know?
Who sees Selene in The Great Hunt that knows what Lanfear looks like?
Nobody. Nobody knows all what right, Lanfear so then, looks like.
So then why would that be a problem?
Because we're going to see we're going to see Lanfear as Lanfear in like some other scenes where like dark friend social scenes and things
well,
like that.
Just don't put her or there. Like,
but you know, or, you know that she's Lanfear by the end of The Great Hunt.
Right, I know that. But I'm saying like when he meets her, I think that it's fine for her to look like herself because we don't know who she is yet. I don't think we need to know. And
that's
then,
true.
And then
that's
like,
a very good point.
I think it's good to do that. And I feel like it'll, especially for people who don't read the books, when you find out she's Lanfear, it'll kind of set you off looking for Forsaken everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, is this guy a Forsaken? Like, nobody knows what the Forsaken look like. So anybody could potentially be a Forsaken.
Yeah. So she shows up later on in The Dragon Reborn. She's Sylvie, the old lady who's in Teleran Riad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's supposed to be like an old lady. Are they going to, I don't know, put the actress in makeup or something? I don't know. And then later on, the next book in The Shadow Rising, she's the merchant, or she works with the merchant. She's like the big, ugly, fat woman, you know. Right. So, like, what do you think they're going to do? Are they going to get another actress to play the role and then
do a
switcheroo?
I like the tried and true method of, like, the person walks past a mirror and you see like who they really are in the mirror.
Okay, yeah, you
but
can
I don't.
Do
they're
that.
Not going to do that every time, but they could do it like. Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm getting ahead of myself, but like, what about some of the other Forsaken? Like Ravin, you see him meeting with other Forsaken, and then you see him as Lord Gabriel, but you don't know that Lord Gabriel is him until much later on. So is that going to ruin it? Are they going to try to somehow mask that?
I
like I said, I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but
so I think the answer is mixed. So I think that Ravin does not disguise himself as Lord Gabriel. I think that like when you see the Dark Friend social, you're going to go, it was him. And that's going to feed into what Jen is talking about, that you're going to start to suspect any person you see might be a Forsaken, but then you're going to see the Forsaken. And you're going to know what Grendel looks like, and you're going to know, you know, what Ravin looks like, and you're going to know what Samael looks like. And you're going to go, okay, now if I see those guys, I'll know. And then all of a sudden, here's the Shiva. And he's a guy that you know, and you've known him for like two books, and you feel like bad for him because he's going crazy. And then it turns out that he's secretly Agenor. So like, I think it's going to be a double twist that like, first you're going to start to suspect people that you don't know that they meet. That may be evil, maybe that's secretly a Forsaken. Then you're going to go, okay, well, now I know who the Forsaken are. And then they're going to go, oh, no, they could also be in disguise all the time. So I think that you might get the actress who plays Lanfear to be Sylvie with old age makeup, whatever. But you definitely want to get a different actress to play her in The Shadow Rising when she's, I can't remember the character's name that she's pretending to be.
I know, it's off the tip of my tongue and someone's going to comment to
like
us Sindane? About it.
Sindane? That
no,
it?
That's,
no, that's her.
That's her reincarnation. Yeah,
oh, God,
and that'll be a different actress. You know,
so it's Kadir, right? Hadnan Kadir is the merchant. Asendra is like the really attractive woman who you think is Lanfear.
Yes,
but then there's the other woman, like the fat woman who is really Lanfear, and I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But we'll get the research team on it. I'm really interested how they're going to play this, and I hope they do keep a lot of it secret, because you mentioned a great one, Tom, DeShiva, because we see him as a Forsaken. We see them separately many times. We don't know that they're the same person, though.
No.
And I feel like if they use the same actor, that it's really going to ruin it. Because when you find out that DeShiva is it Arangar?
Yeah.
Or Osengar? Whichever one it is, I get them confused. Like, that was a total mind blow for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember liking the Shiva so much, you know, and feeling bad, like, you know, oh, here's one of the, like, Rand's guys. He's, like, loyal to Rand. He's, like, starting to go crazy.
Yeah, you know? He was always like spacing out, and you thought he was just being the taint was getting to him. But,
yeah. There's like one point, it's actually rereading the book, it's like a tip off. But there's one point where, like, I think it's when Rand's battling the Shangjin with Kalandor or whatever, and like the lightning's just crashing all over the place. And he pulls him, he's like, can't you feel like the power is all weird and twisted around here? Like it, when I first read it, I'm like this guy's like, he's got talent. He's got skill. I hope he can keep it together to last to the end. And then at the end of the book, he just starts to get ran, but whatever.
Yeah. I'm going to move on to the last one. And the last one's a two-parter. So some of the dark friends that we find out are dark friends. One of the greatest ones in the entire series that's early on is Ingzhar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fan favorite dark friend because he redeems himself in the end.
That's right.
So this made me think too. And I didn't, when we were talking the other day, I totally forgot like the dark friend social at the beginning of the Great Hunt, and he's there.
Yes.
And it's not from his perspective. It's from Boris's perspective. And he mentions at the meeting that he sees a Shannaran warrior thought to be, and we think it's to be Ingtar, just quoting from it. A man in high-collared sky-blue Shannaran coat passed him with a wary head-to-toe glance through the eye holes of his mask. The man's carriage named him a soldier. The set of his shoulders, the way his gaze never rested in one place for long, and the way his hand seemed ready to dart for a sword that was not there, all proclaimed it. The Shannaran wasted little time on the man who called himself Bors. Stooped shoulders and a bent back held no threat. The man who called himself Bors snorted as the Shannaran moved on, right hand clenching and eyes already studying elsewhere for danger. That's Ingtar.
Yeah.
I hope we get the Dark Friend social. They're all wearing masks there, so that's easy to cover that up. I guess my question about this whole Dark Friend reveal is, when Fane escapes, Ingtar is the one who lets the Murdrel and the Trollocs in. Do you think we might get a scene of, not necessarily Ingtar, but maybe like a shadowy figure or an unidentified figure like letting them in? Jen, do you think we're going to get that? Hello?
Jen.
Sorry, I'm here. I'm muted. Sorry. I was just talking. Sorry. I'm muted. I'm not asleep. I think we're going to get a shadowy figure. I don't think we'll see him doing it. I don't think we'll know, obviously. I don't think we'll see him at the social beforehand. Do you think that, like, when they're on the run chasing them, that he's already repentant about it? Or is he still...
I think there's, like, a big theory that it's the flicker scene is where he like turns, like changes. I think we're seeing it from Rand's point of view, and he sees all this really crazy things. And when it finally, like everything finally comes back and they're all in the right place, they mention people are vomiting. And I think Ingtar, they mention it looks like he's, you know, seen the devil. So I think Ingtar sees, and this is something I think that's shared. A lot of people think this, so it's not like my own personal theory that I came up with, but people think that Ingtar saw something in his flicker scene and like basically saw the light. And that's the point where he decided, what the hell am I doing? I need to, I made a big mistake and I need to fix this.
So what's his end game before that?
Yeah, I actually disagree with this, but okay.
I just want to answer Jen's question, and then Tom, you could go. His end game is to get the horn back from Fane, because Fane was supposed to be bringing the horn to Shai al Ghul. And he decided not to. So I think Ingtar's still trying to get the horn, and then...
Yeah, but he didn't know that until they started going after them.
Well, he's got to play his role. He can't... He's still,
I know. I don't get... I feel like I didn't see any kind of a hint. That
the only other thing I could think of is possibly Ingtar wants to get the horn and then try to blow it and...
Yes.
Yeah, in Thaldara, and then try to fight off the Trollocs.
Yeah, I think that Ingtar looks at the horn as a possible redemption. He succumbed to despair. He wanted to try and save his people in any way he could. And then he realized it was the wrong... Like, immediately, he's like, this was the wrong thing to do. He wanted to sound the horn the same way that Algamar said, I'm not going to sound the horn. He was looking for glory, and he was looking for personal redemption as the purpose of it, right? And it really wasn't until he saw Jesus, Rand, just being what, like, good and noble... what he should have been, what he could be, that I think he realized that, like, he could be redeemed without like having to be a superhero or whatever the case may be. I think that he immediately wishes he could find a way to get back to the light, but he doesn't know how. And I think that at the end of the book, Rand basically says, if you want to, you're there. Like, you don't have to find it. If you want to be part of the, you are. And that's it. It's actually one of my favorite moments in all the books because, you know, things get really dark for Rand for a long time after this. And, like, that's, like, his most, like, his goodest, you know, to use the childish term. But, like, it's most, like, innocent and pure and good, which he doesn't get back to until he comes down off the mountain, you know?
To be honest, I wish that was, like, a referenced when that scene does happen later on when he comes off, you know, born again Rand, that he has some sort of remembrance or vision of Ingtar and that whole scene. That would have been nice, but
yeah. Well, we can always, you know, as we become radically huge over the next few years, we can suggest it to Rafe and when they get to that point.
When they start asking us for advice.
Yeah. Right.
I do think they're going to do the Dark Friend social, and I do think he'll be there, and he'll be wearing a mask though.
Yes.
And you know, maybe we'll get some sort of hints, some more hints that he is a Dark Friend, because we don't really, you have no idea in the books. I think Jordan did an amazing job of totally keeping it secret. I didn't know.
No.
You know, I don't know anybody who would have figured it out really.
I don't know either.
And I love the Dark Friend social. I think it's great. I think it helps you realize that there's bad guys everywhere in every organization. They see an Aes Sedai there.
Well, I'm going to get into that next.
You know, there's obviously Bors as a member of the White Cloaks, the Children of Light. And there's all cultures, all classes, etc. So I love that they're going to do that. I think they could lean into it more. And, maybe it's Mishima. Maybe it's Uno. Maybe it's all of these rough...
Aglamar.
Well, Aglamar, I think, will look distinct enough that you'll know. And here's the other thing. You were talking about, like, will you see a shadowy figure? For anyone who watched the movie version of the movie Watchmen,
mm-hmm.
right? When you read when you read Watchmen, you don't know who killed the comedian. But they show you a shadowy figure killing the comedian. And the actor, I'm blanking on the actor's name right now. The actor who played Ozymandias, Adrian Veidt, had such a skinny chicken head silhouette with like a long neck with a big Adam's apple. And like, as soon as you saw him, you went, oh, it's the guy who killed him. Like, it wasn't even like he looked exactly like him. It could have been Mickey Mouse silhouette. Like, it was so clear. So, no, they're not going to do that because they don't want
people. Well, they could do it, but just do a better job of it.
Like, you know what you're supposed
like,
to
I
do?
Like, I think... No, I was going to say, right, because isn't there a scene from Fane's perspective where he says, oh, I wasn't expecting you?
Yes.
You don't see who it is, though. So you could still do that where you don't see the person, you just see, like, footsteps or something, and then the door opens, and then Fane says, oh, I wasn't expecting you.
Right.
That's so cheesy, though.
Well, it worked in the book.
Or you could do...
Like
what they did when they did The Usual Suspects and just have three different actors play Kaiser Soze when you didn't see his face. So like including two of the people that it could have been and another person who's not in the movie otherwise, just to let
flashback Kaiser Soze.
Right, just to let you not give you a hint as to who it could be.
All right. So I want to move on to the last one. And this is also, Tom, you referred to it. The Aes Sedai at the Dark Friend social, and that would be Liandrin.
Mm.
So Liandrin is Black Aja, right? We learned that pretty early on. So I guess two things I wanted to go, not just necessarily Liandrin, but the existence of the Black Aja. And I didn't realize it. I went back and checked. I didn't realize how early it's mentioned. And the first mention we get of the Black Aja is actually from Ilyas.
Yeah.
It says, I have a note here that he recalls accusing Red Aja sisters of being Black Aja when they tried to gentle him. And then Rand has a dream later on about Tom warning him about the Black Aja. And then later on in another dream, Dazamon mentions starting the Black Aja during the Trolloc Wars and that he's also sent them to search for Rand. So we do know of their existence early on. I didn't realize how early on we found out about them. But as you mentioned, Tom, there was an Aes Sedai at the Dark Friend social, and that Aes Sedai is Liandrin. I guess first impressions, Jen, on how they handle Liandrin's introduction. And in the books, you know something's wrong right away when you first meet her.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah. So I kind of want to get your impressions of how you think they could handle the whole Liandrin.
I think you could kind of just think she's a bitch. I think that's what you kind of think in the beginning. And then you see she, like, I'm trying to remember now. She has Agamar's sister, like, looking for them, right? Looking for Rand and all the boys.
Yeah, she uses compulsion
okay,
on
so
her.
So you know that, obviously, that something's bad. I don't know if they would put all that in. I think it'd be better if you kind of didn't know. I'm picturing it being kind of cool if she takes the girls to Toman Head, just, like, pieces out, but you don't really know if she did it on purpose or if it was an accident, and then see her at the social at the end. Like, that's how I had it written. I think that would be a good, like, oh, she was Black Aja this whole time. Like, you're not sure. But I don't know. But if they're going to put in there's a lot of things they would have to cut out from her to make that work. But I feel like a lot of the Aes Sedai have, like, snotty attitudes to them when they're first going there. So it could be, like, something like that.
Yeah. So two things. You're right. Because the only other Red Aja, so we always hear, like, bad stuff about the Red Aja.
Yeah.
And the only other Red Aja we meet to that point is Elena, who's right. also a bitch.
Yeah.
So you know, you might just think, hey, these just the Red Aja are all bitches.
Yeah.
Pardon my French. And the second point is, I don't think we know Leandrin is Black Aja until confirmation that she's a Black Aja until the beginning of the Dragon Reborn.
But isn't she not supposed to do that? Not supposed to use the power in that way? Or is that not part of the?
Well, no, you can't use the. No, it's not. It's not against the.
It's not.
The 3-0. She doesn't use it to.
It's just to cause.
She
harm.
Doesn't use it as a weapon.
All right.
She's lying. I mean, right. She doesn't lie to people.
Yeah. Does she flat out lie, or is she twisting?
And I don't recall if it's obvious that she's using compulsion.
It's pretty obvious.
I think it is.
It is okay. Yeah. But do we know about compulsion though at that point? Like,
I mean, I know like what it is, but I think you kind of see that she's doing something.
Yeah, but we don't know we don't know compulsion really too much about compulsion, or that it's like something that Aes Sedai, you know, good Aes Sedai don't do.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if you just don't know. Yes. Any kind of a twist reveal, I think, would be better than like knowing the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, because she also tries to use compulsion on Rand.
Right.
After Fain escapes and he's down, he gets down into the cells and she comes down and sees him down there and she's asking him questions and kind of tries to use compulsion on him. And he's like, he kind of fights it off, and then Maureen comes in and kind of cuts that whole thing off. I like how she goes to heal, I think, Egwene, Leandrin, and Maureen like jumps in front of her and does it for her.
Right.
What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I think that the show will be better served. They do the Dark Friend social before season two. Here is the beginning of season two, like that's your prologue to the season or whatever, that you don't know who the Aes Sedai is at the Dark Friend social. You just know that there's an Aes Sedai there, like so much so that you don't even see a body type. You see a hand and then like it's worn away. Like you see someone reach for a glass with a serpent ring on it. Something so that literally every Aes Sedai you meet, you go, I wonder if that's Dark Friend. That could be the person that was there. Is that the one? You won't trust Swan. You won't trust Leanne. You won't trust Varen. You won't trust anybody. Yeah. And that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's the great part of the Dark Friend social at the beginning of the second book is like you're like, you see all of these people who are, you know, Aes Sedai, like you said, Shannarans. You see like, I think they mentioned like Lord, a lady or something, somebody like Highborn. So now you're starting to think like, oh my God, all these people are Dark Friends. Are they going to show up later on and try to keep a lookout for them? And I think that makes it exciting.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Right.
You can tell how excited we were by the silence.
Well, I think the excitement came before that. We peaked. I think as season two, and I really do think that Dark Friend Social is going to be part of season two or go forward. I think that's when like the really heavy, like, we don't know what is going on as a viewer will come into play. You can't do that too early with stuff, but like I do think that they can start layering things. And the mystery is that really like drove us as readers crazy for books and books at a time. Like those are ones that I'm going to find interesting because the Game of Thrones mystery, they haven't been solved yet in the books because the books haven't come out yet. Right. So like, even though if you thought you knew the answer, like the show gave you the answer, you know, this is different. The answers are all there if you want to look them up. So, like, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with those, like, really big mysteries that come later on. How will they play those out? Will they just go, well, hopefully the show is such a huge success that it dwarfs the book sales and we'll just, oh, people don't look it up? Or will they change things to make the answers to those mysteries different?
I don't think it being in the book will necessarily ruin it, because like people didn't look up The Red Wedding. That was out already.
Yeah, do you know this? Yeah, there's plenty of people. You're right, Jen. There's people who will look it up. Like, I know people who will do that, like my wife. and then there's people who just like, no, they're going to watch the show and that's it. That's all they're going to look at.
The thing about The Red Wedding, though, is that that wasn't like built up as like a mystery that you need to look up and find out what happened. Right.
Yeah. Right. It's just a shocking scene that takes place. Yeah.
Right. People were trying to find out who John's parents were from the beginning. And the answer was, we think it might be these people, but we don't know because it's not official yet. Right. So like, that's where I would say
there's still some
odds. Like if a question arises, if they get to who killed Asmodian, right, which is the one, like everyone's going to go, well, if I want to know, oh, she killed Asmodian. Okay.
Yeah. If you want to ruin it for yourself, or you don't care about knowing it ruins the show.
Yeah, it's not like there's no big payoff for that one.
No, there isn't, which I think is the best part. It just doesn't even make a difference at all. Yeah.
And I was going to say, there's other mysteries in the book that aren't solved or answered by the end of the series. So you still have those.
Okay. That is a story for another day.
That is a story for another day.
I do have a question, though.
Go ahead.
Is the Dark Friend social? The title, The Dark Friend Social, a fan thing, or is it mentioned in the book as a Dark Friend Social?
Oh, no, it's a fan thing.
Because it's just like picturing invitations going out.
Yes, and then I did say like a Dark Friend Social when I was referring to Forsaken, but those are referred to as Forsaken Tea Parties.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
when they're all meeting, yeah. So we've got Dark Friend Socials and Forsaken Tea Parties. No, those are fan things, totally
fan
things. Yeah, bring your mask. Hey.
BYOM.
Shamael's going to come and talk to you personally.
so bring an extra set of underpants.
Yeah.
And I think this is also a great topic that we will revisit in the future as the series goes on and we get into other mysteries, because there are a lot of them. As I mentioned, some answered, some unanswered, and we could talk about all of them. So I just wanted to mention as we wrap up here to go check us out on social media. We have accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, our email account. You can access all of that on our show notes at the bottom of this podcast. Also, there is a link to rate and review us. Please go write a review. Give us some stars. We prefer 5. Also, the link to our Discord is in the show notes. So come join us on Discord to chat about Wheel of Time. Anything Wheel of Time. We talk about the show. We talk about the books. We'll talk about anything. We talk about stuff not Wheel of Time. Also, Audio Dungeon. You can check Tom out on Audio Dungeon every Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern Time on Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube. I got that right, right, Tom?
You did get that right. Thank you, Joe.
You can also see one of our previous guests, Rob, or Jen's husband, Dan. If you look back, you can find when I was on there too. So you can get 4 for the price of 1. So go check that out. Any last thoughts? Any last things that I missed, everyone?
I have no more thoughts.
Tom's working on shirts.
Yes.
Yeah. So we mentioned the previous ones. Everything proceeding as it is right now. We will be seeing hopefully some of you or all of you at JordanCon this year in Atlanta. We're hoping to have shirts and maybe some bookmarks to hand out and show off down there. So if you see us, you know, stop us, ask us what's going on, and we'll see if we can hook you up.
And yeah, so we'll also be at JordanCon, as Tom mentioned. So that'll be awesome. We should be reporting on the events that happen at JordanCon. We're going to try to do something, whether we do like a live recording from there or just like a wrap up or a commentary on what went on there or something. We're going to figure that out. We're still working on figuring that part out. So thanks everyone for listening, and you'll hear us next time.